This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
I want to talk about the house of prayer tonight. House of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. Okay, let me just say clearly, because we are not building the Tabernacle of David. Okay, it's not correct to say that we are restoring the Tabernacle of David. I will talk a little bit more as we go along the way. But we are building the house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. I want to talk about it because we need to understand. Because we are committed to build a house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. Not any other type, but the house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. I'm saying that because if you search a scripture, which I'm going to prove to you along the way today, is because God has a desire for a specific kind of worship and intercession. He desires a specific kind. That's what people say. Why do you insist in this way? It's not that this is my preference. You know, I always say this. This is troublesome. Four singer took us years to get it right. We are still trying to get it right. No, I don't think getting it right is an issue of model. Getting it right is an issue of understanding the principle, the spirit of it, and the message. But this is cumbersome. If there's an easier way, I will not do it this way. It's not my preference. It's because God desires a specific order of worship. And God requires an heavenly order of worship. You know, we always pray about Isaiah 66 verse 1. It's a cry of God for a house of prayer here on earth. You say, Isaiah 66 verse 1 says this, "Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool." In Isaiah 66, talk about where will you build my house? Where will you raise up a resting place for me? But when you go to Acts 7, it talks about, basically the book of Acts quote the same verse. It talks about heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What is the house? What kind of house in Acts 7? Because God has a certain requirement, inverted comma. He insists. God has a desire for a certain kind of worship. He wants a heavenly order of worship and intercession, which David understood. And actually started with David. That's why it's called a house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. And theologically, many call it the Davidic order of worship. It's consistent throughout the Bible. It's timeless throughout the Bible. Is valid throughout the Bible. No, we are not doing exactly what David is doing. But I'm talking about, we are trying to, inverted comma, copy the spirit, the major principle that reflects the Tabernacle of David, because there's something that David understood. Because God gave him a glimpse of the heavenly order of worship. He saw and he insisted and he gave an order throughout the nation of Israel, and also you apply in the New Testament. I'll go along the way to show it to you. That this is what God wants. We got to embrace, we got to honor, and we got to, inverted comma, insist in that principle, in the spirit. The true expression, it will vary. That's why I always say this. We will never know 10 years from now, how are we going to do it? Because anything of God is alive. It will evolve. But we got to understand it's the kind, the spirit, the heartbeat that God is looking for. That's why we need to understand and copy, inverted comma, what heaven is doing. Matthew 6:10. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We got to understand it. More than just understand it, so that we can be a forerunner. I believe God is raising up forerunner with a vision. One of the things about forerunner is they have a vision to restore this heavenly order of worship, whether you call it the Davidic order of worship or house of prayer in the spirit of Tabernacle of David. Turn with me to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. I believe the Holy Spirit is August. No, I'm not paying you the context. I'm going to go straight into David's revelation of this order of worship. I believe David has high revelation. Do you know that David is more than just a king? He's more than just a priest. The Bible says he's a prophet too. Acts 2. And if you read the Psalms of David, David has many powerful prophecies. Psalms 2. Where he saw what happened in end time. That's why he wrote the famous messianic Psalms. He's a prophet. And one of the things I believe David saw is God allowed him to have revelation of this kind of worship that God is looking for. That's why he set the pattern. And it's a pattern that we have to follow throughout time and even in eternity. Because this is how it's going to be done in heaven. It's going to be done on earth. It's going to be done in millennium kingdom. It's going to be done in eternity. And more, God is bringing it back again. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 42. Because Holy Spirit is one more time. Actually, it's not one more time throughout the ages. But now we are reaching the climax and the crescendo. Holy Spirit is orchestrating the greatest global worship and prayer movement in human history. It will be the greatest. It will be in the global dimension. Okay. Through this worship and prayer movement, the church will operate in great authority. The church will release unprecedented glory and power of God. And through that, the church will usher in the second coming. Because, you know, we, by and large, body of Christ, we have this idea that Jesus will anytime come back. No, Jesus will not anytime come back. If you read the Bible, he's not going to come back in the vacuum. And one of the major things that will cause him to respond and come back is global prayer movement. When the body of Christ all step into their identity as a house of prayer, Revelation 22, verse 17, together with the Spirit in unity, this is crucial. He has to be in unity with the Holy Spirit. Spirit and the bride say, come, Jesus will come back. That's why he's orchestrating the greatest and the global worship and prayer movement right now, preparing the stage. And this worship and prayer movement will operate in the Spirit of Tabernacle of David. Again, highlight this. Spirit of Tabernacle of David. We are not restoring the tabernacle of David. In fact, the Jew will not even restore the tabernacle of David. Jesus himself will restore the tabernacle of David. When prophet Amos prophesied in Amos 9:11 about the restoration of the tabernacle of David, he's referring to Jesus coming back. The fullness of it will be in the millennium kingdom. I'll talk about it as I go into Acts 15. Okay. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 give us one of the, if it's not the clearest, one of the clearest picture of end time worship and prayer movement. See, end time prayer movement will consist of worship, prophetic singing, and intercession. I'll talk a little bit more, because if you study biblical form of worship and intercessions, they don't separate worship, intercession, and the prophetic elements. It's all three together. It's we ourselves in this age where we separate it. Isaiah 42 gives us the clearest picture. If you study the whole chapter, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 42 is about end time, before the return of Jesus. Isaiah 42 is about the release of justice. If you put it together, Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18 make it very clear. At the end of the day, Jesus wants to release the greatest justice on earth, but the key, it has to be a night and day prayer. Okay, Isaiah 42, verse 10. I'm going to read verse 10 to verse 13. Just give you a glimpse. Then I'm going to go straight into David's revelation of worship on earth as it is in heaven, because that is the whole foundation for the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David, because that revelation set the course of his life and ministry forever. And that revelation will set the heartbeat and the spirit of end time worship and prayer movement. What David desired to build, which he make a vow in Psalms 132, will be forever carrying on and fully fulfilled in the end time worship and prayer movement. Okay, Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song. He talks about the worship element of this prayer movement that God is going to raise up in the last day. Sing to the Lord a new, you know why new song? New song, you can actually substitute it with prophetic song. It's new because it's not written. It's not like someone just write a song, then today I have a new song. No, the new song is Hosanna, Hosanna. No, they were ministering, they were praying. Suddenly, they sang a new song. So it's like a prophetic song. Sing to the Lord a new song and praises. Then Isaiah began to prophesy seven arena or seven areas where worship and prayer movement will arise all over the earth. Okay, seven is basically fullness. That means all over the world, all over nations, all over cities, God will raise up worship and prayer movement because that's vital in the release of end time power, judgment, and ushering the second coming of Jesus. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. Okay, just go and read it yourself and find out the seven arena. It's very easy. It's all over, day and night, night and day. He who go down to the sea and all that is in it, your coastland and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. Why lift up their voices? They are crying out. Prayer. It talks about intercession all over the city in wilderness. They are crying out. Not just singing and not just worship where they sing or a prophetic song, but they are lifting up their voice, crying out in intercession. The village that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Again, the intercessory element. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastland. As a result of this global worship and prayer movement. That's verse 13. Jesus heard, stir him up. He will come. First, bring judgment, cleanse the earth. It's the result of that worldwide worship and prayer movement that ushering in the second coming of Jesus. Verse 13, because of that, the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He's coming back as a king, as a judge, and of course as a bridegroom. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemy. Talking about he will totally remove Antichrist and his empire and remove Satan and all his demons over the earth. One of the clearest picture about end time worship and prayer movement. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm going to tell you why. Why I say that it has to be the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Because David, I'm going to run through the life of David, then the nation, the history of the nation of Israel, then the New Testament church, then how it applied to ourselves, because it all begins with David. And David set the pattern. That's why it's always called the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Because David had a powerful revelation. He had an insight and understanding of this heavenly order of worship and intercession. I'm going to use this, just remember. Heavenly order of worship and intercessions. He saw, he understood, he had an insight that set the course of his life and ministry, and that also set the course, the heartbeat, and the pattern and the spirit of end time worship and prayer movement. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Go and read the whole chapter. Actually, I tell you tonight, go back. Go and read 1 Chronicles all the way and 2 Chronicles, because about the house of prayer is all inside there. Great details. You know, they talk about how many singers, how many musicians, how much money you need to. I'm going to tell you how much David gave to the house of prayer. You think you give a lot. it will shock you, whereas, wow, this man is generous, man. He said, of course, he has money. But you have money, I doubt you will give that much money. David gave over $100 billion to build the house of prayer. Look at the eyeball about to pop out. More than all that Warren Buffet and Bill Gates put together. He gave over in modern. I show it to you. I read about it. I was shocked. $100 billion. Say, God, please give me $1 billion. I just need $1 billion. $100 billion. Why? Because David has insight. He has revelation. He knows this is what God wants, and that consumes him. That's why he makes that vow in Psalms 102. I will not sleep. I will not rest until I have built the house. The Bible didn't tell us when he had that insight. When he had that understanding. Because when David talked about it in 1 Chronicles 28, he's talking about he had. He didn't say when he has it. And if you study Psalms 132, which is not written by King David, it's a unnamed psalmist wrote about it. He knew that David had that revelation. No, David made the vow as a young man. Years before he became king. See, the reason David made the vow, because he had that revelation, that insight. I mean, I'm praying, oh God, please. I mean, I understand, but I want to know even more that it gripped me so much. I will not sleep. No, that talks about you will not live thy business as usual. You're going to reprioritize everything until this is being done. That's David. There are four expressions. I'm going to talk about it along the way. It's powerful because he had that powerful revelation inside, and God even gave him a blueprint of how it is supposed to be done. Say, wow, say, can I have I understand a little bit, but not the fullness. I say, God, please help me. Give me that blueprint, okay? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 28. I'm going to just run through a few verses because I have no time. I got a lot. Basically, I'm going to throw you a lot of information. Go back and read it on your own. Because if you are called to be the voice and forerunner, one of the things that we have to, inverted comma, advocate is house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Again, I'm not talking about the form. Not necessarily it has to be done the way that we are doing, but there are elements and principles that determine what is the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Why do I insist upon harp and bow? I'll tell it to you along the way. Why do I insist on antiphoner? No, it's not because I like antiphoner. Antiphoner is especially a pain to your ear at the beginning. Not harp and bow. It was harp and crow for the longest time. But if that's what God wants, I'm prepared to go all the way. There it is. Okay, 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Again, the Bible didn't say when he received it. I suspect he received it as a very young man while he was worshipping at the back hill of Jerusalem. Oh no, Bethlehem. At the back hill of Bethlehem, and God granted the revelation. Because of that, he set that vow. That's why he made this. This is his life goal. Because he understood. That's why I'm praying for thousands of people in this land who had that revelation that they will say that vow that, oh God, I will give you no rest. I will not rest. Not just give God no rest. We all want to give God no rest, but meanwhile we rest. Yeah. Not just give God no rest. I will not rest until a house is being built for you. That's why he made that vow. Psalms 132, which expressed to his life vision. His life vision is, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. 1 Chronicles 28. I'm just going to read two verses. I'm going to read through entire chapter. It's a powerful, actually the entire 1 Chronicles. Because from 1 Chronicles chapter 7 onwards, it's all about David brought the ark back. He established the tent of David. Okay, some version call it tabernacle of David. Some version call it the tent of David. But because he was consumed in doing it, the fullness of fulfillment is actually in Solomon's life. Okay, that's where he told this to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28. Let's go to verse 19 first. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. David said this, he's instructing Solomon, because if you study 1 Chronicles 28, David was telling Solomon what to do. And he gives specific order and so on, said that do not deviate from it. You know, we often miss this. If you study carefully, David keeps saying to Solomon this, you have to obey every commandment of God so that God will be with you. You know, a lot of times we thought that this is just referring to the Ten Commandments. I prove to you is that later on, it's not just referring to Ten Commandments. It's referring to the specific Davidic order of worship. You got to obey every instruction I'm given to you. Verse 19. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. All this, David say, because God gave him a clear insight and understanding. All this, say David, the Lord make me understand in writing. Wow, that powerful, man. I think it's the second time. The first time God wrote something and give it to someone is Moses. I don't know what he actually received, because you read the Bible, there's no record, but he say very clear, God, make me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of this plan. I understand why he has to be this way. Basically, that's what David said. And say, Solomon, please, if you are wise, abide by it. Okay, I'm going to pull up many verses throughout the history of the nation of Israel. There's a repeated commandment that they did it according to the command of David. Turn back to verse 11. Not just God give him a clear understanding, God give him a specific plan. God is so detailed. Not just so detailed, I believe he insists, inverted comma. That's why he give a plan. That's why I say this is not about my preference. It's because what God desire. Verse 10, I'm going to just read verse 10 and verse 11. Again, read through the whole chapter. Verse 10, verse 11. Consider, I'm also sharing this because I'm trying to, inverted comma, internalize even deeper, because few weeks from now, I'm going to speak to four major groups of intercessors. I will tell them that there's one thing that cannot negotiate one. You have to build the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. I'm going to prove it from the scripture that we have to do it this way. Now, this way, not necessarily what we are doing, but I have to insist because this is what God wants. Okay. Verse 10. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you. Talking about Solomon. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Verse 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the rest to build. His houses, his treasuries, his upper chambers, his inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. Listen to verse 12. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. God give him a clear insight and understanding. God also give him a specific plan or specific blueprint. If you're an architect or engineer building a building, you want a building, God is like, nah, David, I give you a blueprint. Wow. Turn with me to Psalms 132. Psalms. I've been meditating on Psalms 132. Wow, I say this is powerful, man. I understand a little bit more now why David make this vow. You know, it's easy for us to say the vow. Do you know there's a four specific expression to this vow by David? It's not just, you just say it and that's it. David was serious and he actually did it. Maybe not in fullness, but he make the vow. He make the vow because he has insight and understand. And I pray we will have insight and understanding, more than just insight and understanding, so that we can teach. But we will make the vow, say, I will do it, Lord. If this is one thing that consume you, may it consume me. Just like Jesus came back. No, not came back. Jesus came the first time. He said, the zeal for my house has consumed me. He actually quoted from David's psalm in Psalm 69. David make the vow. Let's go to Psalms 132. Psalms 132. He make the vow. No, I want to run through this because this is important and you need to go back and think about it, meditate it, let the word of the Lord strike your heart. Psalms 132 is about David's vow to establish a house of prayer or the temple of God, a resting place or a dwelling place of God. Okay, a resting place and a dwelling place, God basically talk about God, a place that God will come and manifest unusual measure of his glory, power, and presence. And this is what we want. This is always the principle in the Bible. Remember David said in Psalms 22, I think it's Psalms 22 verse 3, God inhabit upon the praises of his people. When we begin to worship in spirit and in truth, the Lord will come. That is the key. Okay, and David understood it. Psalms 132. I'm going to read just first 4 or 5 verses. Psalms 132, verse 1. The psalm is not written by David. It's one of the psalmists. Basically, reminding God about David's vow. That's why the first thing he says is, Lord, remember David. Remember David. It's about the vow. He's reminding God of the vow that David has made. Oh God, remember David and all his affliction. You know why all his affliction? David suffered. He has many afflictions because of two things. One is pursuit of righteousness. Two is because he's building the house. Turn with me to Psalm 16. I say, build a house, got affliction. You have sacrifice, you have stigma, you have persecution. That's why David said in Psalm 69, don't turn to Psalm 69 yet, just remain in Psalm 132, because I'm going to go to Psalm 69. David said, zeal for the house has consumed me. And because of this zeal, I'm facing reproach. That's part of his affliction. He's paying the price for that determination to build a house. That stigma. That's why the psalmist said, oh, remember David. The vow that he's made for you and all his affliction. He pursued righteousness for your sake and because also his determination to build a house. Verse 2. He said this. How he swore to the Lord. Vow, this is a powerful vow. Vow to the might. Do you know that we have to take our vow before God seriously? You know, we are very careless about making our vow to God. We have to be very careful. Take God seriously and God will take you seriously. And David made the vow and he was serious. And there are four expressions. I'll tell you the four expressions. And vow to the mighty one of Jacob. He said this. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house. Or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my house or slumber to my eyelid until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Say, oh God, I will not live like business as usual until something is being done about the house because that zeal consumed him. There are four expressions. He's serious. That's why there are four expressions through this vow. Four expressions. First one, if you are sincere about this vow, there will be zeal and commitment to build the house of prayer. Which is Psalm 69. Just write down. I'm not going to turn into it. I think I have no time. Psalm 69, verse 7 to 12. It's not just, okay, anything we'll do. But you will have zeal. That's why David said in Psalm 69, zeal for your house has consumed me. And because of the zeal, I'm facing the reproach. So it's not just an any vow just saying it. Many have said yes. Not many have done it. But David has a zeal. He has a zeal and he has a commitment. You know what's the second thing? Second thing about this vow. It's about giving time and devotion to burn and minister before God at the house. Not about, you know, I say on Tuesday, if when you are free, then come. This is not about the vow David has made. David rearranged his life. That's why this is his life vision. What did he say? One thing I desire, This is what I seek. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Of course, he didn't literally fulfill it because he went off to war. He had admin to do and logistics and so on. But he said, I will prioritize. I have made the vow to build the house, not just give money. I will be there burning, seeking the face of the Lord, ministering unto the Lord, joining the Levites, the priests, the musicians. It helps David could sing, and he's a pretty gifted guitarist. No, he didn't play guitar. He played the harp. But he gives time, and he gives devotion. Not when he's free, then he comes. Or if you high, you know, it's easy to do house of prayer once a week. It's hard to do house of prayer if it's 24/7. You know why? There will be good time. You have to come. There will be bad time. You will still come. You see, by and large, musician is going to be hard unless their DNA is being rewired by God. Because a lot of musicians go by mood, even intercessor. Spirit filled, then you pray. That's not 24/7 house of prayer. If you're supposed to do tonight 10 to 12, you don't feel like it, you're supposed to do, you come. You are committed, and God's heart moves because even in bad time, you come. Another thing, you know, we all have this good idea that, oh, one day, one house of prayer, 84, no, not 84/7, 84 slot a week, 24/7. You will always be high one. Talk to people in Kansas City. They will tell you, by and large, it's mundane. It's monotonous. It's boring. Once in a while, God dropped a little droplet of spirit of prophecy or revelation. Your heart is wow. We say, oh, too much, too much. Most of the time, not enough, not enough. It's by and large mundane, monotonous. Even Misty ever say that. I've spoken to her before. She nearly quit a few years back. It's true. But it's the commitment. I will come. I will give time. I will burn. Not just when I'm free, I come, or I feel good, I come. Then no one will come on. Because the principle and the philosophy is very different. We are doing this until Jesus comes back. It's easy to say that I'll be faithful and steady until the end. Wait till the end. See how many still here faithful and steady. No, I'm saying it to myself too. But that is the expression of David's vow. He gives time. He said, I will be there. I will burn no matter what. The third, which David actually did. There are four. No, these are all four. The third one is David, when he said, I will build the house. He gave extravagant. I tell you, I think the word extravagant is understatement, man. If you give US $100 billion, that's not extravagant. That's, no, shouldn't use the word indecent. That is overwhelming. The third expression of David's vow is he gave extravagantly in terms of resources, manpower, money. You know, he has, IHOP has 5,000. He also has 5,000. He put 4,000 musicians, 288 singers, 4,000 gatekeepers. What is gatekeeper? Gatekeeper is not just open door, closed door. That means you pull in the rug, you clean the floor, you do the admin and logistic. We all need that. Or you need to do the account. And he gave money. Lots of money. Okay? Not 10%, okay? There's a difference between tithes and offering. The Bible talks about tithes and offering. Tithes is 10%. Offering is above. David gave extravagantly. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 14 talks about how much David actually gave to the... I know some people say he's a king. He can just use the public fund. No, no, no. You read all the kings of Israel, not all give to build the house. David was the one who gave extravagantly. Verse 14 says this, indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord. Listen, okay. 100,000 talents of gold. I'm going to compute for you. What is 100,000 talents of gold in modern day? And he gave 1 million talents of silver. Okay. 1 talent of gold in modern day is about 75 pounds of gold. Okay, 75 pounds of gold is about 1 million US. Okay, so 100,000 talent of gold is about 100 billion. So he gave 100 billion worth of gold to build the house. Not just that, he gave another 1 billion talent of silver. Okay, 1 talent of silver is about US 15,000. So 1 million talent of silver is about US 15 billion. So David gave about US 115 billion dollar to build the house. He gave extravagantly. That is the third aspect of his vow. Of course, there's a fourth one. Fourth one is David embraced and he insists that it has to be God order worship and prayer for the house. Okay, I'm going to give you all the verse. We're going to run through it later. Okay, this is one of his verses. It has to be this way. And he commanded. And I believe because of that, he suffered some stigma. And he faced reproach. Because that's like, sometimes some people tell me, why are you so stubborn? And so on, rigid, and so on. Okay, just write down. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19 to 28. 2 Chronicles 20, 19 to 28. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 16 to 18. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 16 to 18. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 4 and verse 15. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. Nehemiah 12, verse 45. Talks about David, in very common, insists that the nation of Israel, and I believe it applies to the New Testament church too, that we have to embrace and honor the Davidic order of worship because this is the kind of heavenly order of worship and intercession that God desires and God, in very common, requires. And we're going to do it as it is in heaven and it is done on earth. Okay, that's why when David became king, you know what is the first thing that he did? Just write down this verse. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1 to 12. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1 to 12. Read through the whole 1 Chronicles chapter. You know, it's interesting. But David understood because he had the insight. That's why when he became king, the first thing, no, actually there's a second thing. The first thing is he took back the city of Jerusalem. He fought the war and he won the city of Jerusalem. And after that, he began to establish the tabernacle of David. Okay, 2 Samuel 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1 and 2. 1 Chronicle 15, verse 1 to 17. 1 Chronicle 16. Read through 1 Chronicle 16. Basically, what he did is he built a tent. The Bible didn't tell us how big is the tent. Then he put the Ark of the Covenant at the center. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant actually is not very big. It's about the size of the coffin. I know it's a kind of like funny illustration. It's about that big, about 6 to 7 feet in length, 2 to 3 feet in width, about the size of the coffin. He put it right at the center. Then he put full-time musicians, singers around. Okay, I'll tell you why along the way. There's a reason. And minister unto the Lord day and night, night and day. It is the first day and night, night and day worship and prayer center in human history. This is the first thing he did. Because David understood this is what God wants. But more than that, I'm going to talk about David's commandment. He commanded God's people throughout history to honor and embrace this heavenly order of worship. Because this is what God wants. It is timeless and valid even to this day. I'll give you some principle. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 25. 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 25 is about Hezekiah, okay, King Hezekiah, one of the king of Judah. Verse 25 say this, and he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbal, with string instrument, with harps, according to the commandment of David. No, it's more than just commandment of David. As you read further, it is God's commandment. Let me just read it again. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbal, with string instrument, with harps, according to the commandments of David, of Gad, the king's seer, that means his prophet, and Nathan, the prophet. Okay, David has three prophets in his life, Samuel, Gad, and Nathan. Listen to the last part. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophet. David said, you have to do this. You have to honor it. You have to embrace it. Because this is the order that God commands. This kind of worship and intercession. I'll give you a few more verses. Let's go further. 2 Chronicles 35. Then I'm going to talk about Old Testament, nation of Israel, the New Testament church. 2 Chronicles 35. Every time the nation of Israel is reminded, this is what David commanded. Do it the way David commanded. Again, let's go back to 1 Chronicles 28, if you remember. Always remember, because David had insight. He had understanding, because God showed it to him. 2 Chronicles 35 is about Josiah, okay? King Josiah. 2 Chronicles 35. Let me read verse 4. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read through. I tell you, go and read 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. It's easy reading, but read carefully. You need to read carefully. Because you know why? Actually, I'm going to talk about it later. I must not talk it now. If you study the nation of Israel, it's very interesting. The rise and the fall of nation of Israel is closely related to the establishment of the Davidic order of worship. In the nation of Israel, there are six eras, if you exclude David, six eras where Israel prosper. It's all tied up to God raised up kings who understood about Davidic order of worship, and they bring back this Davidic order of worship, and Israel prosper. And every time they neglect, Israel declined. And that ties to all seven revivals, to the Old Testament history of the nation of Israel. Of course, David is one of them. It's all closely related to the Davidic order of worship, because that's where God releases blessing and power. Every time they neglect, nation of Israel backslide. Every time they bring back, nation of Israel rise. That's why when what's the guy's name? Zerubbabel came back, the first thing that he did, he didn't build the wall. If I'm Zerubbabel, I build the wall, because all the barbarians and enemy better build the wall first, cover my backside first. He built the altar first. He built the temple. Then Ezra came. Ezra restored the law. Then after that, Nehemiah came. Nehemiah built the wall. In fact, Nehemiah was very upset when he built the wall. He said that, hey guys, while we are building the wall, you have neglected the house of the Lord. Because it's so important to God. And God is bringing it back again. If I have time to talk about it, why the church now lacks power and revelations. Because we have neglected this ministry unto the Lord, where biblically is tied closely to the releasing of power. 2 Chronicles 35. Let me just run through these few verses. 2 Chronicles 35. Because it's a way that God insists. No, don't do exactly what David did. Don't go and find the ark. The ark is missing. Haven't you watched? No, I'm just joking. I want to talk about the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Haven't you seen it's missing? No, it's not about the ark. And I want to tell you, in New Testament version, what does it mean to worship around the throne? Okay, don't really wait until the throne comes. Okay, then you'll be keep waiting. There is a principle about worship around the throne. Let's talk about house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. There are four elements. One of it is worship around the throne. So don't just keep looking out. I can't never see any throne. No, it's a principle. Worship around the throne. David understood it. That's why, what did David do? He put the ark at the center, because ark represents what in Israel's time? The glory and the presence and the throne of God is upon the ark. That's why heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the footstool? In the Old Testament, the ark of the covenant. Read 2 Samuel 6:2. 2 Samuel 6:2 says specifically, the presence of the Almighty dwell between the two cherubim on top of the ark, the mercy seat. That's what it is about. There's also, do you know that the most biblical form of worship and intercession, it has to be around the throne. That's how it is done in heaven. Say, where's the throne? Where's the throne? Because someone just suggested, Kishan, why don't you put this whole place round? No, I'm not talking about the specific structure. I'm talking about the spirit and the principle and the heartbeat. I'll tell you what is around the throne, because without around the throne, we're all just waiting for the throne. There is a real throne in heaven, but I'm talking about the heart. Okay, where am I? 2 Chronicles 35, verse 4. Talking about Josiah. No, I want to say this because I'm praying really hard that Singapore churches will see this. I tell you, it'll be powerful. We've all returned to the heavenly order of worship, house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. If we all return to that, something is going to happen. No, it takes years for us to do it, but if it's really of the Lord, it's worth doing it. And we can do it. You know that the current model of worship that we use, now I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not biblical. It's not. I prove to you later in the Bible, the most biblical form of worship is antiphonal. The way worship is done in the Bible is only one form, harp and bow. The Bible do not separate intercession and worship. We are the one who separate intercession and worship. That's why you read the Bible, whether it's Revelation, Psalms, Isaiah, full of songs and prayers. The Bible never make it very clear when it is singing, when it is praying. Because while singing, they can be praying. While hearing the song, I say, yes! What is that? What is that? What is that? Prayer, you mean it worked? Yeah, prayer is what? Prayer is agreement. Just like we play the song, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Oh, there's a song talk about there is a generation that's arising. You know, every time that verse is prayer, you know what did I say? Say, yes, Lord, let that generation arise. Am I worshiping or am I interceding? Interceding. Because it's all about agreement. That's where prayer is easy. Someone said, oh, come Monday, watch of the Lord. Quite boring, no? It's boring because you don't understand the principle. You're coming here to hear music. I'm here to hear music. I'm here to engage my heart with God. When something stirs in my heart, I say, yes. What is that? Prayer. Does it advance the kingdom? You didn't say it much. You didn't say it loud. God is not hard of hearing. God does not need you to shout. I mean, I shout. That's because I swallow a mic when I'm young. If you understand that, then you know this is what God requires. I show it to you. I better go. I keep saying show it to you. I never get there. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 4. Prepare yourself according to the Father's house, according to the division, following the what? Written instruction of David, king of Israel. You can translate it as a commandment that David has given. Say, you must do it this way. You must do it this way. Let's go to verse 15. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 15. And the singers the sons of Asaph were in their places. What is it? According to the command of David. Do it the way that David instructed. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 29 verse 25, it's not just the command of David, it's because it's a command of God. Okay, let's go. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. Again, Zerubbabel, they all came back. They began to build the temple, the Davidic order of worship. And they insist it has to be the way that David has instructed, because David has insight from the Lord. Verse 10. When the builder laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apron with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbal to praise the Lord. What? According to the ordinance of David, king of Israel, or according to the command of David. Wow. Listen to verse 10. No, verse 11. I like verse 11. And they sang what? You know what I sang responsively? They sang antiphona. They sang interactive. That's the way worship is then done in the Bible. I'll tell you again as I go further. Okay, one more verse. Nehemiah 12, verse 45. Nehemiah 12, verse 45. There are a lot for you to read in Nehemiah 12 and 13. Because Nehemiah 12 and 13, the Bible even talks about you got to pay the singers and the musicians. You know, we grumble, pay you to sing and play. Do you know that they rejoice? They were very happy when they know that the singer and musicians didn't pay. We all, how come they are paid? Come on, understand the principle. Okay, let's go to verse 45. Both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and kept the charge of the purification according to the commandment of David. That's why in many times in the history of nation of Israel, they embraced the Davidic order of worship because it's the commandment that God insists through David. There are seven revivers in the nation of Israel, all ties to the restoration of the house of prayer that's established in Davidic order, or in their version, it's called the temple of God. Let me just give you all seven. I mean, it's interesting. It's all tied together. David, of course, is the first one. David, I don't need to give you the verse. I give you verse, I have no time, okay. David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat. These are all seven revivers. If you study them carefully, it all tied closely to the establishment of the temple worship or the Davidic order of worship. David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah. Of course, Joash, when he became king, he was very young. So he was actually advocated by the high priest called Jehoiada. Okay, J-E-H-O-I-D-A. Okay, he was very young, Joash. He's probably about 10 years old or 12 years old. So this guy who has great wisdom, he's a high priest of the time, said, you must build the altar of the Lord. He must bring back the Davidic order. That's why during Joash's time, Israel prospered. Okay, Joash, Hezekiah, Josiah, and of course, Zerubbabel. Okay, Zerubbabel. Okay, Zerubbabel got to read the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, and what's the book? Haggai. Okay, talks about Israel arise because they built that. Now let's go to New Testament church. What does New Testament church talks about? Let's go to New Testament church. I believe that This applies to the New Testament church, especially the end time house of prayer movement. Okay? Because Holy Spirit is emphasizing this again. Again, you know, that's where we got some principle wrong. I'm going to lay you some principle. Let me just say one thing first. There's this order of worship that God commanded David to command the people of God in Old Testament is still valid in our age. It's timeless. Okay, I'm going to give you some principle. Now I'm going to run through one verse, Acts 15, verse 16 to 17. Of course, Acts 15, verse 16 to 17 primarily is not about 24/7 worship movement, but it talks about the spirit of it. But I give you some principle, biblical principle regarding Old Testament, because many people will say, oh, this applies to Israel only. No, I believe the order of worship that David commanded is timeless and is still valid in our time. Give you two principles. Actually, these two principles will just not just apply to this order of worship, but even about Old Testament. You know, people will say that Old Testament is obsoleted right now. It's totally wrong. Torah is out of fashion right now. It's totally wrong. Because it's wrong. Okay, write this down. Wrong to say that Old Testament commandment or Old Testament principle is obsoleted. This is wrong, okay? It's wrong to say that Old Testament principle or Old Testament commandment is obsoleted if it is not mentioned in New Testament. Have you heard that before? That's not true. This is wrong. See, listen to this. When God says something, especially when it's in the Word, is forever true, forever valid. Unless it's mentioned specifically, this is no longer valid. If it's not, you don't argue in silence. New Testament do not mention it, does not mean that it's obsoleted. Turn with me to Matthew 5. This is crucial. Matthew 5. I've never heard people say, Ten Commandment is out of fashion. Who say Ten Commandment is out of fashion? It is still valid. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says specifically, I did not come here to demolish the law. I come here to live it out. He came here to demonstrate to us how to live it out. Do you know why it's New Testament? New Testament is because God gives us grace. Grace is not that you are exempted from the law. Grace is by the grace of God, He's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside us, empower us. We can live out if we learn to walk in the Spirit 100%. Every commandment that God has given us to us. That's how we got it wrong. Do you know the glory of New Testament is not that you are exempted from the law? The glory of the New Testament is you can live out the commandment of God. Amen! I want to do that. Do you think that the Old Testament people can live out the first commandment? They can't. They don't have the ability. We can because we have the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, only a few guys have. Now, that's the principle I want to tell you because we all have this idea, especially nowadays, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, they think that, oh, Old Testament, no more valid because of New Testament. Another thing, you read the book of Acts. When the book of Acts, the church was around, you think they have New Testament? The New Testament didn't come around until a few hundred years later. What were they reading? Old Testament. They're living out the Old Testament. Read the book of Acts. What did Peter quote? What did Paul quote? They're quoting Psalms. They're quoting Isaiah. They didn't quote Revelation. Revelation was much later. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I do not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. That means in his life, as well as teaching us how to live it out. Okay. Verse 6:18, For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or little will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's why it's wrong to say that Old Testament commandment is obsolete if it's not mentioned in the New Testament. Understand?